KMPL.ca newsroom for this week. Marty Thompson, Charlie O'Connor Clark, and an incredible feeling in my stomach that we're going to be able to talk about Canadian men's national team soccer again.
Finally.
Don't Finally. I look happy? Yeah. So, okay. Okay. So, a bunch going on, obviously all on one soccer. We'll start with the Olympic team. We're recording this Friday morning, just as the news broke. Thomas Miller-Jaguerre of Pacific FC is out. Same with Chris Twardock due to injury and medical reasons. And in comes Mo Farsi and Diadine Abzi of Calvary FC and York United, respectively, to take their spots ahead of a big opening match against El Salvador, 6 p.m. Eastern time on Friday on One Soccer. We'll get into the other opponents in this group in a minute, Charlie, but maybe let's just go over these quick changes. So Farsi coming in and Abzi, you know, Farsi obviously it looks like he's going to have to play winger to replace Twardock, and Abzi's coming in replace of a center back, which is interesting. But your thoughts on these last minute additions to this Canada squad?
Yeah. I mean, I think the maybe the elephant in the room or the obvious thing is that this is a blow to Canada to lose guys like Twardock and Miller-Jaguerre, because Twardock is the most match fit player Canada had. I mean, he'd been playing games in Poland's first division for a couple months now. And I mean, Thomas Miller-Jaguerre is a great center back, and now Canada is down to two natural ones, right? With Callum Montgomery and obviously Derek Cornelius. But I mean, when one door closes, another opens, right? This is a really, really fascinating opportunity for Mo Farsi and Diadine Abzi. I mean, especially for Farsi, who wasn't even on any map maybe a year ago, I think now is going to be playing for Canada in an attempt to make the Olympics. And I think he could actually play a pretty significant role, because we've seen him, I mean, we've seen him at the Island Games come into a squad that he'd never played for without much match fitness. And he was good from day one, right? The very first game. So that maybe bodes well for his ability to help out at this level.
And yeah, both players can play up the wing and can play at fullback. Yeah, what an opportunity. Like you said, this is this kind of changes the complexity of Canada in a couple different ways. Very sad to see TMG go. And like you said, there's two natural center backs in that team. I think you just posted online, Charlie, about Callum Montgomery. Because, yeah, he's totally going to be like, this is a big moment for him. I don't see a way that they would start a different player for El Salvador, which is, again, tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Let's walk through these opponents, Charlie. First off, like you wrote a pretty good piece on camp. Well, a very good piece on camp. That was pretty good. It was okay. No, but it was you're talking about, you know, and going through the different teams and who will be there for these countries. And it really gives you a sense that this field is going to be, I think, a lot more difficult than it has been in previous years. Like, we'll start with El Salvador. They've got some pretty big names there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the first thing that jumped out was that all these teams have some pretty good players playing in some pretty strong academies and clubs worldwide. El Salvador is an interesting one, because it seems like they've got a couple of players that have only just before this tournament switched their allegiance to El Salvador from the US, which is interesting and not particularly uncommon. I mean, There's one guy, Joshua Perez, who's actually the nephew of their head coach. but he's playing in the Spanish third tier at the moment. I mean, in recent months, I think, for instance, he's played one game in Serie A in Italy for Fiorentina. He played, I think, Baker's dozen of games in MLS for LAFC. So he could be maybe an interesting forward to watch. Got another forward called Enrico Hernandez, who I believe started a game in the Dutch top flight this year, I think 2 months ago or something like that.
Yeah, it's wild.
Vitesse. So they've definitely got some pretty talented players, and obviously with a lot of these Central American teams, there's also always the factor that a lot of them have actually played some solid professional games in their own country over the last few years. And I mean, we've seen in the CONCACAF League what kind of level the El Salvador League is, right? I mean, with Municipal Limeño taking it to Forge. It was a pretty competitive game. But yeah, El Salvador is Canada, but I would still take Canada in a if I were a betting man. But I mean, none of these games are going to be easy.
No, so, yeah. No. and especially coming up, you know, the next couple of games, obviously Haiti and then Honduras. That Honduras game setting up, yeah, to be probably pretty important in this group. Yeah. And very quickly, just to skim over those two teams, Charlie, like, what do you make of? I mean, Honduras is, again, it's going to be difficult. They've got a couple quality players in their group, but I mean, you think you got to win these next two and then try to set something up with Honduras, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably going to be the way it boils down. Haiti's a pretty good team. I mean, I think they've got a handful of players that were on their Gold Cup squad back in 2019, which I don't really know what they did. I think they probably pulled out of the tournament before the quarterfinals or something like that. I stopped watching
by the quarterfinals, Charlie.
Yeah, I just lost interest.
No, I'm kidding. I think there's there's recordings of us on this podcast. We do us talking about that game specifically right after. So we did watch it. But that's okay. We can deny it. We can deny it.
Anyway, Honduras is a pretty scary team, though. I still will go to bat for Canada and say that they're better and more talented. But Honduras is almost certainly more match fit. They've got a handful of guys with like 50 or 60 games experience in the Honduran league. They've actually got two guys that have played against Forge in the CONCACAF league. They've got a guy. What's his name? Jose Reyes, who played for Olympia in Hamilton 2 years ago.
Wow.
And they've got one player who played for Marathon this year against Forge, which is pretty interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. That's a great bit of trivia.
Yeah. I think there's one player to watch for Honduras, though, it's this guy called Rigoberto Rivas, who's just an unbelievably awesome name. But he's a forward. He plays for Regina in Italy's second tier. I think he's on loan from Inter Milan, but he's been playing regular football in a very good league in the second tier of Italy. So I think he's going to be a pretty exciting player to watch. And I think somebody that certainly Derek Cornelius will have to be sticking to.
That was Charlie's scouting report. Thanks for going through the motions there and thorough as always. Maybe we could talk about let's talk about Canada. We don't have to talk about Haiti, Honduras, or El Salvador.
I would prefer that.
Yeah, I know you would. Biggest, like, just for full context, you know, we're recording this before the game against El Salvador, and we won't speak again until after the group stage is over. So who knows? When we're recording this next episode, it could be all over.
Fast it is! Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so everything happens on Thursday, including the men's. They also play on Thursday, the doubleheader. We'll get to that in a bit. So that being said, we'll take it from a macro level. Like, what do you think going into this tournament is like Canada's greatest strength and their greatest weakness?
Okay.
Because this is the question I pose, because I think there's a couple different ways you can go about it. And frankly, probably going to get some of it wrong. So that'd be funny.
It'd be hard to get it right. Whenever you try to predict things or anything like that, at least in my experience, I'm always wrong. But I think something that's really a strength for Canada is obviously, I mean, it's the talent on paper, right? I don't think a Canadian Olympic qualifying team, at least in my memory, has ever had as much professional experience. Maybe not in the last few months, but as much professional experience. Like, there are a good solid, I don't know, 5-6 players on this team that are reasonably regular starters in MLS, which isn't something that we've been able to say in the past. There's some guys playing in some really, really, really strong clubs around the world. I mean, Charles Andreas Brim and I mean, Lucas Diaz, obviously. And especially Canada's got a lot of talent in the wing positions, even more so with Mo Farsi now. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. I think the strength is up the wing, but the weakness is what? For you.
Yeah. So that's the problem. There's so much talent on the wings that I think the weakness could be at the center forward spot.
I had the exact same thing written down.
Yeah.
I had the exact same thing.
Other than the obvious weakness, which is match fitness, but like, you look at the list of attackers, the only guy there that maybe is a more comfortable center forward is Theo Bear.
Yeah, I that's the thing. And when I say we could be wrong, Charlie, it couldn't, like, wouldn't surprise me if Theo Bear has like a great tournament or a great group
of course not.
Because I think he's been pretty underrated, probably just because of Canada's striker pool at the men's national team level. But you know, he's performed well at MLS level. You know, like you said, he hasn't necessarily played a ton, but like, this is his, like, he's the starter at this position, right? We can all kind of agree to that going into the first game, or at least, you know, agree that that's the idea in principle. But
yeah,
if he has a good tournament, then we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about it the next time we talk. But you're right. Because you wrote that, you know, that after Theo Bear, who's left to play at center forward, you don't think there's anyone that's really, like, you know, up to snuff there.
Not really, because all of these attackers, I think a lot of their maybe pro experience seems to be out in the wings. That's not to say that there aren't players that can score goals. I mean, I think Tajon Buchanan is a really, really talented attacker and probably going to end up being one of Canada's most important players at this tournament. But he's still more of a wing type player. I think Theo Bear is the one guy that's maybe able to play that sort of target man role. He's a little taller. He can maybe take it into his feet. I think it's all it's saying to me is that Canada's going to have to play a pretty strong wide game, which maybe isn't necessarily the worst thing for a youth team heading into the men's national team. Because I don't know, I feel like the senior national team might also have some good wide players. I'm not sure, but I think so.
I was just going to say that as a joke as well, but now I can't. Okay, give me one non-results-based prediction out of this group stage.
Non-results-based. Okay. All right. So I think my prediction is going to be that one player from this team, other than Derek Cornelius, will play for the senior national team this year.
One other than Derek Cornelius.
Other than Derek Cornelius. Who will absolutely play for the senior national team this year.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I was going to say that one of these players will be in a Gold Cup squad, but that would be I don't really want to jinx anything, because that would mean that Canada's not at the Olympics, because those will be around the same time. But the national team's got a lot of games this year, and a bunch of these players are kind of on the cusp, like have already played one or two games at those sort of January half-strength squad camps. So I really think a couple of these guys could get a look, especially if they have a really, really strong tournament here at the Olympic Quals.
We were just talking last week too. Like, this is the first time that CPL players will represent Canada at a competitive level, at any level, which is bizarre, because it seems like the league has been around for like 5-6 years, probably just because 2020 seems so long. But yeah, I mean, from 2019, like, if you think about March 2019 or April 2019 to now, you know, like, we went the entire 2020 without anything, and now you know, the matches are literally stacking up on top of each other. Next Thursday,
yeah, they're all at once.
It's going to be next Thursday, it's going to be U23s, and then it's going to be the men's team. Or sorry, the other way around, men's team and then the U23s. So, I mean, there's going to be tons of more opportunities. And I'm glad you mentioned Buchanan, because I think he's going to probably be one of those players. If I had to pick one of them, I would say it would be him to get that jump.
That's a good shout.
And I'm glad you brought up Cornelius too, because, like, I don't know, maybe I'll take that. Like, I think that people are going to end up appreciating Derek Cornelius a lot more at the end of this tournament. That would be my prediction, because you look at, like, the experience that he brings and like, again, no one on that team can really bring the same amount. Like, I wrote about James Pantemis and him hopefully forming some sort of, you know, leadership in the back and trying to sort of create that spine. But I think he's going to, like, I mean, obviously if the results go their way, I think people are going to be a lot more impressed with Derek Cornelius, who, you know, again, well, he was part of that Canada team that beat the US. And
yeah,
actually, now that I think about it, that loss to the U.S. in Orlando was probably the last time the men's national team played a game.
Played a competitive game. Yeah, because we had those ones against Barbados and Iceland in the January. But you're right about Cornelius. I mean, he's probably the captain of this team, right?
Yeah.
I think even already he's pretty much penciled in to the national team, at least in the top three center backs on the depth chart.
Oh yeah, so, for sure.
At least. And I mean, he's 23, right?
I think that, again, people are going to appreciate him a lot more than I think they did previously. That's my prediction. So.
Probably. It's a good prediction. Okay.
Yeah, it's conservative to say the least. Okay, so Canada taking on El Salvador. Again, that's Friday. And then taking on Haiti and Honduras next week. All of those games on One Soccer. I believe the game on Haiti is Tuesday evening, I believe. So we'll have extensive coverage on KMPL.ca. Yeah, I'm convinced it's Tuesday. Tons of coverage on, or maybe it's Monday.
That would maybe make more sense.
I had this written down. I'm going to just pull it up for our listeners who are driving right now and probably cursing at their phones. Again, we'll have extensive coverage on KMPL.ca of all three matches. And then, as I mentioned, you know, the Canadian men's national team is getting in action this week as well. This coming week, I should say, with World Cup qualifiers. That game, first game against Bermuda, we're expecting the squad to be out, obviously, early next week. That's Thursday at 7:30, and then the Honduran game, Canada-Honduras, happening later on. Maybe we can talk about the men's team quickly. Like, we were kind of talking a little bit off camera about this, Charlie. Like, it's so hard to predict what this squad's going to look like and who's in, who's out. That changes daily, you know, if not hourly at this point. Like, do we have any sort of, have you heard anything? Do you have any sort of predictions, like anything about this men's game?
Yeah, it's really hard to predict just who is going to be available for Canada. I think we saw reports coming out of France yesterday that it doesn't look like Jonathan David is going to be available, just because of the the quarantine rules and so on, that their football association just isn't going to allow players to leave the EU. Which, fair enough. We don't know what the case is with Germany as we record right now. So who knows? But I mean.
Who plays in Germany?
We always knew that this year, at least these early World Cup qualifying games, there might be a bit of a balancing act in terms of who you can call up, because obviously it's really difficult to pry these players away from their clubs, which is good for, like, in a way, because they're so important to these clubs. But we knew it would be a balancing act. I mean, if you fight really hard to get a player to come over for these, like, Bermuda and Cayman Islands games, then maybe it's harder to get them out for, you know, a bigger game against Haiti or something like that a little further down the road, right? So I think you'd like to say that Canada has the depth to be able to handle these games. I mean, it's obviously never easy to play any CONCACAF teams, especially away from home. But I think this might be, it won't necessarily be a full strength Canada squad, maybe a lot more North American based players, which again is a bit of an issue for match fitness. But I think Canada should be reasonably comfortable with these two particular games.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. Okay, the game is on Monday, by the way, 6 p.m. Eastern time on One Soccer.
Nice.
Canada versus Haiti. I guess I won up. I had it written down on a different sheet in front of me. Okay, but quickly before we go, let's talk a little bit of CPL very briefly. A lot has happened in the last couple of weeks. A lot of teams still continuing to sign. I wrote something for the website sort of detailing some big questions for each team. But I'm curious your take on some of these big questions. We'll start in the East. I'll start with Halifax. What do you think is their big question going into the 2021 CPL season?
Well, there's a few. I think the obvious one is the midfield. I mean, how do you replace Abu Sissoko? Which the answer to that question might be with Jeremy Gagnon-Lepere. We'll find out, I suppose. Maybe the question that I've been thinking about most recently is, how does their style of play hold up over a longer season?
Yeah, that's what I had too.
Yeah,
because it worked for the Island games. It also worked because they didn't get very many injuries. I think if you have a couple of those, like especially those forward players, like, you know, I know Alex Marshall was kind of in and out at the start, but you know, if you start to lose some of those players, I think you have to change the way that you play. I mean, if Akeem Garcia went down injured after game four, I think that Halifax team is forced to play differently. And that just comes down to how do you do that over a full season? I think that's my big question.
Yeah, full season will definitely test the depth a little more. And I mean, as you said, like if you're going to play a counterattacking game all year, then you better hope that you're pretty fit.
Yeah. And then for let's talk about Forge FC. I wrote that I thought that they could still, it was just curious to see how the attack would get fleshed out. I did take some heat online for failing to mention David Edgar's potential replacement, but that's probably the right answer.
What's the right answer? The
David Edgar
thing? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not particularly concerned about the attack, especially now that Tristan Borges is there again. Mm-hmm. I mean, in fairness, like I think that they could still do with another center forward, kind of reliable guy who just finishes everything. But yeah, I mean, do you bring in a guy to replace David Edgar? Is Dominic Samuel the guy? I think we said before they brought back Tristan Borges that it might be hard to sacrifice Samuel's attacking ability because they did that thing where they put Johnny Grant up on the wing and then Samuel at right back and then they had the center backs. But I think maybe if you've got Borges there, you're a little bit more comfortable with Samuel going back into the middle. But who knows? I mean, they could still pull out some random veteran defender and it'll all be fine. But it's interesting. It's definitely a question that has yet to be fully answered.
I think, yeah. If we know anything, it's that Bobby's willing to trust the players that he knows. So Bobby Smyrniotis decides to go with Dominic Samuel, he goes with Dominic Samuel. Atletico Ottawa, I think I had that we're still waiting to have a few more domestic, specifically attacking signings. There are a couple that we know they're on the way. I teased that in the article. A couple players that I don't think fans would necessarily expect to come in. But that being said, I'm curious, like this team only has what 10 players signed. I'm curious what you think would be sort of the big question marks surrounding this team. For me, it's that you need to kind of flesh out the attacks. I think Malcolm Shaw's the only forward signed right now, right? And you lost Acuna, Ben Fisk, you know, Mo Karuma. There are some big holes left there for sure.
Yeah, you pretty much kind of nailed all the guys that I was going to bring up. I mean, in a broader sense, the question is who plays for this team? Right, because they still don't have. I still don't think we could put together a projected starting 11. They've got a lot of defenders.
They don't have a keeper yet, so
they don't have a keeper. They've got a lot of defenders. I think on the roster right now. I don't know who's going to score goals. I mean, Malcolm Shaw is good, and I actually think he was pretty impressive at the Island games. But he's one guy, and maybe not a guy that can drive your attack on his own because he's a pretty good finisher and maybe your target man. But yeah, you need wingers. You need maybe you're not going to face Francisco Acuna. Absolutely not. But yeah, you need somebody who can play that position. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of work to do, obviously, but theoretically there's enough time that Ottawa can still build out a pretty solid squad.
A lot more time than last year.
Oh, yeah.
York United. Let's wrap this up in the East. What do you think is their big question going into 2021? There's a couple.
Yeah, there's definitely a few because the team is just so different. The big one has to be the midfield, I think, just because that was their biggest strength over 2 years. And now Joe DiChiara and Manny Aparicio and Wataru Murafushi and even Chris Minella, even though he didn't really play much, they're all gone. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they're going to have the same sort of midfield heavy game where they kind of control the ball and cycle it back. I would think probably not, to be honest, because they've kind of gone a pretty different direction with the rest of the squad. But it's a big chance for Noah Verhoeven, I think. to maybe get into that number eight role or something like that. Jordan Wilson is a guy I'm pretty interested in as well, as maybe their sort of holding midfielder. There's a lot of guys that we haven't really seen. I mean, a lot of these international players that we don't know a lot about yet. But I think whenever you take your biggest strength and completely change it, that's gotta be something that's, you know, something to watch. And it's something that you'd be rightly, maybe not concerned about, but something that you'd be watching until you're proven that, that it's not a problem.
And then for me, we've gone quite a while without mentioning all the international players that York has signed. Lisandro Cabrera just went on loan to a club in the Dominican Republic that's actually playing at CONCACAF League in the next couple of weeks. CONCACAF Champions League, not CONCACAF League, which is massive. I think they're playing Monterrey.
Yeah.
Wild. And they're the international players that York has brought in. I know we've talked to Angus about this at length, even on this show, but Angus McNabb, the CEO and president there, there's some pretty significant pieces, and they promised to like be some of, you know, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, some of like the most impressive international players the CPL has ever attracted. Whether or not that works out, or if it doesn't, if it does, I think they're going to be one of the better teams in the league. If it doesn't, like, who knows where that leaves them? That's my only question is, if the quality is there, where does this take this York team? Okay, let's wrap this up. ECPL, that's coming up this coming week. Watch the CPL social channels. I'm gonna be trying to get some trials in. I think I've got a lead on some of the CPL players. By the way, there were there's about a dozen CPL players that are signed up for this tournament.
Nice.
So there's a great chance you're playing the likes of I think East Nogaro's in there. Elijah Adekube's in there. Lowell Wright for York. There are some players in both the Xbox and PlayStation realm. Charlie, I know you've got an Xbox. How are you playing on training this week?
Just gotta get the hours in, get the touches in. What other cliches do players usually use?
Have you played recently?
Yeah. I've played a few games recently. I mean, I lost probably all of them, but.
I love that.
You gotta believe in yourself. I'm still trying to think of interview cliches.
I'm not sure if it's different for gaming. All I know is that, like, I'm not sure if Lowell Wright's listening to this or not, but I think I want to play Lowell because he's a teen, and teens are definitely good at video games, and especially FIFA. So I want to get the most difficult test out of the way before I hit in these trials. Again, so that's the Xbox trial start on the 23rd, which is next week, and then the PlayStation is a couple weeks later on April 6th. Again, you could play a CPL player. You could also play us, which would be disappointing. But
I mean, it would be great for you or whoever's listening that played one of us.
I know, because they're probably good. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's just a free ticket to the next round.
Okay, we'll talk to everybody next week. Again, Canada, the Olympic qualifying campaign on the men's side will begin on Friday night against El Salvador, 6 p.m. Eastern time on One Soccer, and then Haiti on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, and then Honduras on Thursday. Okay, until then, take care.